The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are Ed Funston of KILR in Esterville and Ty Rushing with the Northwest Iowa Review. Ed, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
So there have been reports of cases of coronavirus spiking in different parts of the country. How concerned are you about that? And do you feel the federal government should be doing more to combat the coronavirus?
Well, the federal government should be doing all it's supposed to be doing under the Constitution. There's some things under the Constitution that they could be doing that have not much to do with the Constitution. It'd be simply advising people more often at the federal level to space 6 feet and to wear masks. I wear masks. I try to stay 6 feet away from other people. We've changed the floor of the Senate, so we have a 30-minute voting period of time instead of 15, so we don't need to be running into other people to vote, things of that nature. But I think the main thing is that we've got to realize that everybody was predicting that there was going to be another spike, and we're in that spike now. And I think you're finding where most of the authority over local economies come from state and local government, you're seeing the state and local governments adjust accordingly. And I believe. But I think that since I've seen it move from the overwhelming amount of it being people over 65, you're now finding people, 50% of it being people under 35, that younger people don't take it as seriously as they should, and wearing masks and spacing, and then where there's a lot of closeness, the state and local governments are limiting attendance, particularly at bars and things of that nature. But you can't just rely on the federal government. You have to rely on state and local governments. And I think another bad thing here is everybody in government's been saying that if you are close, if you're in large crowds, you got to wear a mask. And yet they seem to have a double standard so that if you're a demonstrator, they don't care whether you wear a mask or not. There shouldn't be a double standard. Ty.
Yes, Senator. I see you're a co-sponsor of the Justice Act. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah. First of all, we're fortunate to have a person that's gone through the discrimination against black Americans be a leader in this area and a leader in the Republican caucus, and that's Senator Tim Scott. He'll tell you how many times he's been stopped, even by Capitol Hill police, and that's separate from the city police. And they shouldn't know who's in the United States Senate. And one time he even had a button on his lapel like we all wear. And the policeman should recognize that's the United States Senator. There's only 100 people with that button. And he got stopped one time. So what he's coming up with is directly connected with how under the Constitution we can get some changes at state and local government, because we can't tell the city of Cedar Falls, Iowa how to run their police, or nor would we want Washington telling all municipalities how you got to run your police force. So we connect it to the money, the federal dollars that go to local police stations. If they want to get the dollars, they have to do this. Not have chokeholds. Make sure you report all the murders that go on, because not every jurisdiction does that. We need to know. We need to know that if you've disciplined a policeman, or particularly if he's fired, that becomes a matter of record, so that he doesn't get hired down the road or in another state. And that's three of probably six or seven things that we try to accomplish. And by the way, about 70% of Tim Scott's bill is about the same as in the House bill that passed the House of Representatives last week. But the Democrats, except for four of them, but we needed four more votes, except for that, Schumer would not take up, he didn't even want to discuss Tim Scott's bill. And the reason they didn't is when it comes to race issues and police reform, somehow in his mind, only the Democrats can be for that. It's impossible for Republicans to be for any reforms like this. And I think Tim Scott shows the world otherwise. Back to Ed.
Senator, I was wanting to get your reaction to today's Supreme Court decision striking down the Louisiana law that required individuals who perform abortions have admitting privileges at nearby hospitals.
Well, I wish they didn't strike it down, but when the Supreme Court makes a decision, it's the law of the land, and we have to take that into consideration. I don't think it's going to stop the movement for states to find creative ways not of doing away with abortions, but of putting some limits on abortions and some safety for the health of the women. And that's what Louisiana was trying to do. It's not constitutional. It's not following Roe v. Wade. So you accept it and find other ways of doing it. I've been a long-time believer that science is going to probably change the abortion policies in this country more than Congress or the Supreme Court acting. From this standpoint, that there's been an increasing sensitivity to the humanity of a person in the womb, and as time has gone on, we've learned through science and through medicine that at a very early age, like for instance, you heard of the pain, no pain used during abortion. After 20 weeks, under what circumstances would you want to commit pain to a baby in the womb? And so you've seen more sensitivity towards the issue of life in the womb than you used to 50 years ago. And I think that's changing people's views, and eventually it's going to change abortion, I think. Let's see, Ty, I think you're the next one.
Yes. Back here, obviously, you know, protests are still happening all across the nation, and there a lot of them have happened even here in some of the smaller communities. Orange City had a justice walk protest here in Shelton. There was also a rather large one here in Spencer, and so all of those were peaceful and remained peaceful. But I guess, what are your thoughts about seeing just kind of like this level of activism trickle down to even some of the smaller communities in our?
Oh, well, first of all, I think it's the right thing to do for the injustice that came to Mr. Floyd in Minneapolis. We can't allow those things to go on, and any attention you can bring to injustice to whether it's black Americans or Hispanic Americans or even the extent to which white Americans or Asian Americans would be affected by that sort of police brutality. You can't allow that to go on. So maybe this is too short of an answer, but I support peaceful demonstrations. Even if I didn't support them, they're supported by the Constitution, but both the Constitution and I have the same frame of mind in this instance. And finally, I want peaceful demonstrations. I don't want the anarchists to do what they do, the burning and the stealing and the looting and all of that. Okay, let's go back to Ed.
All right, Senator, you wrote an op-ed the other day about the growing threat of meat shortages and that the Senate needs to take action. Can you explain that?
What kind of shortages?
Meat shortages.
Oh, meat shortages. Well, There's a bill that I'm co-sponsoring, and I think maybe this is being done administratively, so maybe we don't have to pass a bill. But you know, when the packing plants were shut down, then the work done by the local meat locker, we call them meat lockers. I don't know what you call them in Northwest Iowa, but anyway, we used to have one in New Hartford. We don't have one now, but they were getting, instead of pigs being euthanized, they were getting that business, and they're way behind. And so under federal law, that meat can't be sold interstate. And that goes back to a law maybe the 1970s. And I think that law was passed, quite frankly, because probably the big meat packers didn't want these little lockers selling across state lines and being in competition with them. But whatever the reason, that's the law. But evidently, there's been some action taken by agreements between states that this meat can now be sold along state, it could be sold along across state lines. I'm sorry, I'm hesitating here, across state lines. So then I put in a bill, I'm a co-sponsor of a bill, I should say more accurately, that would make this a federal law that this meat could be sold across state lines. Now, I don't know whether our bill just simply repeals the 1970 statute or just modifies it. But it doesn't matter. We're trying to, when packing plants aren't working, we're trying to provide food for everybody. Bottom line of it is now these packing plants are 90 to 100% on production schedule. So maybe it's not an issue so much as it was when I put the bill in. Ty, you have the last question.
Okay, yeah, my last question for you is just, I guess, do you have any thoughts on the fall matchup between Randy Feenstra and J.D. Scholten here in the 4th District?
Well, I've had a chance to tell Randy that Mr. Scholten came within 3 percentage points, I believe, of winning last time. And he was campaigning 2 years before that, and he's been campaigning 2 years since his defeat. Even though you live in the most Republican part of the state, you can't take anything for granted. So work just like you were behind. I don't think he's behind, and I think he's, and I really feel he's going to win. He has such a great record as a state senator that I think he's going to win. But he better not take it for granted. Okay? Thank you all very much. Goodbye.
Thank you, Ed and Ty, for participating in today's Public Affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.